CliffCentral.com.
It's Friday morning. Hello. How do you do? Yes, we are joined this morning by Sia Sangweni and Leanne Moll. Star-studded collaborations on a Friday. How's that looking for you, huh?
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
That's right. Don't you miss that that Friday song?
No, I don't.
You don't miss it? Oh, how disappointing. Maybe just because it is a Friday, we'll do this. You want to do the song that we usually do on a Friday?
All right,
it is Friday.
Now it feels like a Friday.
That's good.
I'd like to interrupt usual programming with this announcement.
Oh, it's a big announcement.
Or rather, right, it's a big an observation.
Oh, wait. This is a big announcement. It needs a fanfare, right?
Leanne Moll is drinking from a mug with Lady Diana Spencer on it.
Leanne Moll's drinking from a mug with Lady Diana Spencer on it.
How fabulous.
And Prince Charles.
Oh, I decided to ignore him. He's not important to me.
He's the only one who's still around.
It is the HRH Prince Charles, Lady Diana Spencer commemorate their marriage. A very long band across the bottom. 29th of July, 1981. And it's filled with the crest, which has crowns and dragons and horses and monkey. The monkey's on the same side as Prince Charles.
There's no monkey. Show me.
There is.
Show me.
Right next to Prince Charles.
It's not a monkey. That's a lion.
No.
Yes, it is. It's a lion.
Oh, it is. But he's got very monkey ears.
No. Let me give you a quick lesson in heraldry. You can have monkeys as what they call those supporters. You can have monkeys. You could have humans. You could have angels.
Yes.
But that's definitely a lion. Lion for England, and on the other side is probably a unicorn for Scotland or a dragon
a horse.
For Wales.
It is a unicorn.
Yeah, it's a unicorn.
And there's a dragon at the top for Wales and then some plumy crown on the other side.
Those are called the three feathers of the Prince of Wales. Prince of Wales feathers.
Do they wear the feathers in their hat and call it macaroni?
But if you've ever noticed, Charles wears a signet ring.
Yes, he does.
And on his signet ring is just the three feathers of the Prince of Wales. And the motto is Ich Din, which means I serve.
Ooh. I learned something new.
I feel very posh this morning.
Yes.
I found this in a second-hand store in Cork Bay.
Very nice. Well done, Leah.
And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to collect memorabilia from the royal family. So this is my first piece.
And you haven't collected any others?
No, I bought it along with a Princess Diana book.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
And then I stopped.
Oh, just two pieces.
Doesn't your mother collect this kind of crap, Sia?
No. Oh,
my mother does, absolutely. Yeah. And still to this day, we don't even touch it. We are not allowed to touch it. There are even Lady Diana key rings around the house for some of the doors.
Oh, really?
And I just grew up with all of that all the time. But I panicked a little yesterday when I saw Prince Philip trending on Twitter, and I thought, uh-oh.
Who's got him on their list, by the way? He's 99, so you'll only get 1 point.
Yeah, I was a little nervous, but it was because some actor has been cast. Well, look, it's an Oscar-nominated guy who's been cast to play him in The Crown, but I thought, oop.
Listen, I love Prince Philip. He's my spirit animal, and I hope one day to be reincarnated in a similar life to the one
just with more marbles.
What do you mean?
In your, you know, he's lost his.
Do you think so?
I don't think so. Hey, I think he's still the boss there. I think he's still the head of the family, and they're all shit scared of him. Even now,
yeah, because he's mad.
But I saw a picture of him Oh, must have. I know his birthday was sometime in June or July, but then I saw a picture of him recently. Since then, he really looks like the Crypt Keeper now. Sure, a scary look. Ooh. Yeah, he looks. He's got those dark rings under his eyes.
Yeah, he looks skeletal, like very gaunt.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got to tell you something. So yesterday, I went for my. It's every couple of months that I go for one of these skin treatments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Christina, who's terrific, she's really, I mean, she's made me look, if you think I'm ugly, and a lot of people do, you have no idea of how ugly I would be if it wasn't for her.
Oh, come on.
Your skin looks like a baby's.
Yeah. And she said to me, she said, I saw you on TV. She said, I think those lines...
Oh no!
Yeah, she said, "I think we've got to speak to someone about those lines."
Oh.
So did you have like laser and things like that?
No. It's she's got this machine that basically it heats the skin up to well over 40 degrees, and it also causes some damage to the tissue underneath, so it repairs itself. It's not like a vampire facial or the needling or any of that stuff.
Yes.
You know, so she. She does this to me. She's really got like this amazing equipment. And before she does this to you, she has to put on the numbing cream and all that stuff. And I always thought this stuff was unnecessary. To be perfectly frank, I don't even put moisturizer on my face. I'm a very bad student.
That makes tears in my toes curl.
I've never woken up and had a shower and then put on moisturizer or anything.
What?
Sorry, this was not planned, but it's just coincidentally right near my computer. This is one. This is two. This is three.
Three different products. All. And those look very expensive. So
this is just for my face.
I have to give her credit, and we'll get her on the show sometime because she had some really interesting things to say about masks, because she's had a lot of her clients come to her with acne or with dermatitis.
Yes, maskne.
Yes, maskne. So she said, and we must get her on next week, Sia, let people figure out how to avoid this and what you can do. Anyway, she was saying to me, look, you maybe have to start thinking, now you're in your 40s, you know, you're no spring chicken anymore. You might want to consider a little bit of assistance in that regard. Now, I have never in my life thought about getting Botox or any of that stuff, and I've never had any treatments like that before. In fact, as I said to you, I wouldn't even moisturize. If I didn't go to her every couple of months, weeks, months, whatever it is, I would be a disaster, and I know that my skin would look like absolute shit. And it did for a long time before I went to her. So I'm one of those people who's not very disciplined about those kinds of things.
Mm. Well, that's good. I should have already started undergoing treatments as a woman in her early 40s. But I haven't yet, purely because it costs a fucking fortune.
It does. But you see, I'm on TV now. And I know that I'm not everybody's cup of tea, right? So I get that, and I'm okay with that. Not everyone has to like me.
No, but you have to be your best self, you know?
Well, I also like the idea of aging gracefully. And the one thing about my family, and this is what got me thinking about it, when you were talking about Prince Philip just now, is we have these very droopy eyelids.
Yeah.
So my dad has them, my brother has them, my sister has them, I have them, my grandmother had them. And I do not want to turn into, you know, one of these. You look like a basset hound eventually.
Oh no!
But I'm absolutely terrified because I've seen people, and I saw a picture the other day of Simon Cowell, who looks horrendous. And
he's just broken his back.
Yeah,
but
I'm talking about before that.
Okay.
And he did.
He apparently extra puppy.
Yeah, he broke his back. He was on some electric bike or something, and. Malibu.
Yeah, on his own property.
Stupid idiot. I mean, he's in his, what, 50s and he's riding around on an electric bike?
Or maybe even 60s. Not sure.
No, thanks.
I mean, you know, I never want to look weird like those guys.
Done up, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think I'd rather just age gracefully and have people say, Jesus, you look old, than have people say, you look weird.
I had two grands of similar age, and the one aged gracefully. And when I say gracefully, when she turned 50, she started wearing the matching dress with the matching shoes with the matching handbag. Okay?
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
She never dyed her hair or anything like that. She had beautiful skin, and her wrinkles were even beautiful. My brother referred to them when he was a little boy as, he said, "Granny, I love your frills."
Frills, that's beautiful. That's
so and sweet. My other gran was liposuctioned to within a bone of herself.
Beautiful.
She had every procedure imaginable. She used to wear only labeled clothing, sunglasses, track suits.
Oh, yes.
Studded jeans, beautiful, bespoke shirts that were crisp and studded with diamantes and
fabulous.
Embroidered.
Jesus, she sounds like a pearly queen, yeah?
When I had bought the newest pair of Reeboks or whatever, she would have them too, just by chance.
Okay.
Very on trend. And they were both beautiful in their own ways. You know,
okay.
Really appreciate both.
Fair enough. I think, you know, I've always had this opinion about any kind of cosmetic surgery, whether it's a boob job for a woman, whether it's a facelift for a woman or any of that stuff. I think you must do whatever makes you feel good.
And
I'm not going to be closed-minded these days. It's a different world, and men must do what they want to do too.
Uh-huh.
I know Sia is going to be rushing straight to the plastic surgeon as soon as he sees his first wrinkle.
Don't start. No. You will not do that to me. There are examples of great work done with people. Like for me, I want to look like Lionel Richie in my 60s and pushing on 70s.
Yeah, he looks great, and he's also got expression on his face. And you know, he's a charming looking guy. Look, I don't think anything can make up for genes. Like if you got good genes, like he's clearly got good genes.
But that's also after nights of dancing on the ceiling. He's had a little...
Yeah, sure he has.
Nip, I kind of hello.
But I'm looking at a picture of him now, and the guy doesn't look... He doesn't look bad. You know, there's bad... Like you say, there's bad work and there's good work. Like Lionel Richie right now, and he's on TV quite often too. He looks... He's a good...
Mm-hmm.
He's a good kind of taken care of look. Although
I just don't want to look like a shriveled up mushroom. I'm not interested in someone saying I have beautiful frills. Sorry, Leanne, I'm just not.
But also, you know, we slowly introduced men to facials, okay, over the decades.
Yeah.
And that's now completely acceptable. And now we're slowly introducing men and women to procedures beyond facials. So sure. Peels, you know, chemical peels, laser treatment. And it's actually... Technology's advanced, and those are the new facial. There's nothing wrong with having them done, and there shouldn't be any shame in having them done.
It's not a shame thing. So I'm definitely not ready for that stuff yet. I can say that now.
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, I wouldn't talk about it because I'd be ashamed and worried and frightened and all of that stuff that you would notice if I was, you know, the kind of person who didn't talk about it.
But you know they always say prevention is better than cure, right?
Exactly.
Well, I've heard that, and this is exactly why I think it's good to have someone who knows this stuff on the show. And, you know, we're all speaking as if we know. We don't know. And
why don't you experiment with something small?
Like what?
Like your laugh lines.
Face
or
transplant.
Like froze free. You're froze free or something.
I've just started getting used to the way I look. After how many years? I've never liked the way I looked. I told you this, and it's not a joke. I've always said I always thought I deserved to look better. Like I've been, I feel like I'm much uglier than I should be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. That's very, very harsh. That's very harsh.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it as a fishing for compliments type of thing.
That's why I'm not giving you them. I'm just saying you're being harsh.
I'm disappointed that I don't look fucking amazing, you know? I think it's a cruel trick of nature. But I will admit that somewhere in the last 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. you will have noticed I've stopped like berating and disrespecting myself the way I used to and saying horrible, horrible things because I've got used to the way I look. So I'm at peace with it. So if I now go and do something outrageous or dangerous, and even if you say, Sia, something small, and it changes even a little bit, then I have to start all over again in terms of not liking myself. And I don't want to go there again. So I'm actually okay with developing a few laugh lines. And
yeah, me too. Absolutely.
I think it's good. I think it also gives your face character. So yeah. you Sia, go ahead and you can have as much Botox or plastic surgery as you like. I think I'll hold off for at least another couple of years.
I would have been expressive for 35 years. By the time I get something done, I'm fine to not show expression anymore. Emotions and feelings, they're fleeting.
Speaking of age, these Mango Sutu Buthelezi videos that are going around, I know you've seen them.
He is just so lovable. He has been posting videos from home. He tested positive, even though he's asymptomatic, and he's staying put at home right now. Right. And he's been giving us very YouTuber-esque updates on what is happening to him.
Remember, this is a guy in his 90s.
Yes, and he's sitting in a very large chair, and he has a gown on in one of them.
It's a bit like a throne. It's more than a chair.
Oh, and he's just there. Like in the one video, he talks about how he's slightly offended that people have used terms. There's this Zulu term that means someone is basically down and out and almost about to die. And in the video, he says, just look at me. Like, do I look like someone who's about to die? No. And he like has a sense of humor with it. And then in the other, he sings one of his, a hymn that he likes. I just sent that to you, Gary.
Yeah.
And like is really lovable. I thought, oh, Mango Sutu firstly can hold a tune. And then I thought, it's unfortunate he lost his wife a few years ago. My grandmother's single. They're both, you know, proud Zulu people. I want to set them up right now.
That's great. Let me play this clip quickly so you can hear what Sia and I are on about. It's very...
Someone, he sounds like he feels like he was singing.
Someone sent me a clip of his from last week.
Then Jesus' blood and righteousness, I hold no merit of my own. Then Jesus Christ and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Oh, that's beautiful.
On nothing.
Isn't that beautiful? Shenge! Love him. I really do love the guy. And I know not everybody loves him because obviously, you know, he's got in 90 years, you're bound to accumulate some mistakes and some enemies. But he's a very real dude. And I think he makes, he's one of those people, there are very few of them in South Africa. He's one of those people who you kind of pleased he's South African, you know? You're like, wow, he's one of us. That's how I feel anyway.
Yeah.
Even if you don't. Lots of people do not like him for what he did during apartheid, what he did in the early 90s in South Africa. But I honestly think if you're still holding grudges about those things, you need to find purpose in your life.
No grudges.
Just as a person at 91 years old, he's not taking this lying down at all.
Yeah.
And we did mention it the other day very jokingly about, you know, him just recovering from this. And I think he's going to.
Well, recovering because he's been asymptomatic. So he's tested positive for coronavirus, but he's asymptomatic. He's got no cough. He's got no loss of taste and smell. He's got no chestiness. He says he's fine.
Now, well, this new thing, which is like rashes on your toes and fingers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What a bizarre disease this is.
It's so weird.
Bizarre. It feels like it's been made in a lab. Really.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, don't get fired up.
It's very weird. Anyway, look, if Mango Sutu Buthelezi can make it through coronavirus, what the fuck are you worried about? You know? What are you worried about, you pussy?
My step-granddaddy.
Yeah.
My domestic worker, shame, she was meant to come to work on Tuesday, and she messaged on Monday to say, my son passed away today. Now, her son's in his 20s.
It's not coronavirus.
So I said, Shane, what happened? And she said he was sick. So now I have to try and do a little bit of digging because obviously if she's been exposed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that there's a bit of a stigma still around this. You know, people are scared to say that a family member has succumbed to coronavirus.
If you're under the age of 30, you have as much chance of dying from coronavirus, not getting it, dying of coronavirus, as you have of being struck by lightning.
Maybe he was struck by lightning.
Well, I hope not, but I mean, it's still sad for her, obviously. So.
Shame. No, it's horrible.
Anyway, but there I thought that we'd need some inspiration for the morning in Mangosuthu Buthelezi.
Ah, oh, that's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Right, huh?
Yeah.
Very, very nice. So I went yesterday a little bit ballistic and I started cleaning up. You know, I go through these phases.
Oh boy.
No, but it's a good sign. It's a sign that I discussed with Sia and with Mbulelo yesterday, how I go into these darker mood shifts. It's what other people would probably develop a depression around. And I develop this rage. And I feel like I'm coming out of it, even though my birthday hasn't happened yet. And you know how much I love my birthday.
Mm.
But when I start cleaning up and tidying the world around me, and it's partly because, as I said yesterday, there's just nothing pretty to look at right now. You know, winter is still very much here. It's all brown. So I decided, screw that. And I got in the car yesterday, and I'm driving this Bucky at the moment, which is also kind of uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
I drove to the nursery. And I bought a bunch of plants and flowers. And I bought just stuff that will make it look less dead around my house. And I instantly felt better. Instantly. It was like
That's good.
Yeah, it's like taking an injection after, you know, it's like a vaccine for the
vitamin B shot.
Yeah, it's like a vaccine for all this misery of winter and the lockdown and everything. And I really hope the president does what we've seen media reports saying he should do, which is go to level 2 and get this thing. In fact, he should just scrap the whole thing. He should say, look, you know, we've done everything we could. The hospitals have not been overwhelmed. They have not. So what started off as a 2 weeks, let's all lock down and get the hospitals ready, and has turned into 6 months of absolute devastation to the economy and bad decision after bad decision from government. Let's just call it quits now.
Lest we forget, we also haven't used those stadium in Johannesburg.
Field hospitals. We never used the field hospitals. We didn't need to. And the nurses I've spoken to a few nurses. I've got friends who are nurses, and they've said to me they're on rotation. They're working half day. A friend of mine, by the way, who works I'll not disclose the location, but he has a bed and breakfast, and he's had some of those Cuban doctors staying there. They work from 8 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon, so not a full day. They don't speak a word of English. So they have to use Google Translate while they're talking to these guys. Now, if you can't speak a word of English as a doctor and you're dealing with patients who also can't speak English because they're Xhosa, I got to ask you how effective that is. And they're paying these guys a fortune. It's costing us an absolute fortune to pay for these Cuban doctors. Governments have just not made a good decision during this whole thing. Not one.
I don't know. I think they made some good ones.
Name one. Just one.
The reason why our hospitals aren't overflowing is because we had a strict lockdown period.
Nonsense.
And
I would rather have that. You can't prove that. There's no way.
You can't prove anything.
Yes, you can. That's just nonsense. I don't buy it. I mean, you sound like Damon the other day. He was arguing with me about this. Just listen, Leanne, even if you're right, even if it did do something, as you rightly point out in the same sentence almost, you can't prove it. I'm not going to let these guys take credit for all the destruction they've caused. I'm sorry. And if we've saved 5 lives, that's not worth it, no matter what Cyril says. So he must just go on TV. He's got today, tomorrow, and Sunday. He's got to go on TV and say, listen, I think we've overstayed our welcome with this lockdown thing now. You have to be responsible for yourself. Wear a mask if you are concerned. In fact, wear a mask. Just, we're not going to make you do it. We're going to recommend that you do it. And wash your hands and all that stuff that I keep telling you every time I come on the TV. Otherwise, please, can we get on with our lives? We have an economy to rebuild. And then people will jump in again. It's his last chance to get everybody on his side. His last chance.
I would still be happy with going down to a level 2 with alcohol and cigarettes being reinstated. Uh-huh. And I would still like it to be law for people to wear a mask. Because remember, I'm not going to protect myself if I wear a mask. I'm only protecting others. So I would like others to wear masks around me.
Well, you can't. But that's like saying... That's like saying you don't want people who stink around you.
I don't.
Yeah, but you can't.
Yeah, also.
Here's how you avoid that. You stay away from people who stink. You can't make it law that everyone who goes near Leanne Moll has to smell nice. You know, when you make a stupid law, which most of these regulations around lockdown have been absolutely stupid, and that's why everybody's joking about them, and even people like I had Dalimpofu on my TV show, and he said that these laws, his word was absurd. All these laws are absurd. Now, I think it was Montesquieu who said, if you make a ridiculous law, it has the effect of making the unridiculous laws ridiculous.
Well, that's Montesquieu, but what about Montestrait?
That is straight from a page that caught Jesus. Are you proud of yourself, Leanne?
All right, time to get to, on that ridiculously stupid note, let's get to this. So here's some news. 118 newborn babies have been abandoned at Gauteng's public hospitals in 2020 alone. Don't tell me that responsible adults in this country deserve social welfare from government or a hand up from everyone else in society if they can't even be responsible for the children they've made and that they leave those children, abandon them at various hospitals. This is a sign of a bunch of irresponsible, unaccountable adults who have no idea of how to behave. Really, if you take your child, I'm so sorry to say this because it's going to hurt some people's feelings, but if you take your newborn child and you drop it off at a hospital, and this has happened throughout history, so let's not pretend it's a new thing, you are not allowed to ask anyone for help from that because that child is completely reliant on you. And if you've been irresponsible enough to bring it to give birth to it, to let it grow, inside you, and then get it to the point where it's born, and then decide, like some kind of like heroin addict who's just looking for the next hit. Now this doesn't suit me. And you drop that kid off, and you make it everyone else in society's problem. You are not allowed to be a part of that society anymore. Go and live in the mountains.
There are too many mistakes and steps that lead up to that point. Number one, you've had unprotected sex. And if you haven't, there's the 1% chance that that's how you fell pregnant.
Sure.
Number two, you haven't had an abortion.
Yeah.
Or taken
the
morning after pill.
Is legal and is free and is available to you.
Number three, you've spent 9 months
not making
any decisions. Right. You've had the choice to go to family or to arrange with somebody or something to do. And then to go against every maternal instinct and leave your child at a hospital. There is something wrong with you.
It's a selfish decision.
You're not just a selfish person. You're a terrible person.
Yes. So,
you're a terrible person.
You're worse than some criminals.
Yeah. I have no respect for people.
A bit of a devil's advocate. What if, you just planned against it?
What do you mean?
What if you were on track and you wanted to keep the baby, though you might be in a very terrible situation and then shit got real when you gave birth?
I'm sorry. There are some things you've got to take seriously in the world. And this is probably the number one thing. If you bring another life into existence, I say this as someone who has not brought another life into existence because I take that responsibility very, very seriously. And I know that I might not be the best parent in the world. I don't think I'd be terrible, but I certainly wouldn't do this. Now, I don't think there can be a more grievous dereliction of duty than to create a new life, a whole person, and then just abandon them at a public hospital. And we've had 118 of these. The department said the reasons for this ranged from teenage and unwanted pregnancies, lack of financial and emotional support systems, undocumented mothers, and no support from fathers. All of those reasons are bullshit. I'm sorry.
And this is in Gauteng alone, isn't it?
Gauteng alone.
Yeah.
Outrageous. Ugh. I get so sad. Here I am, we're having a nice Friday, and I read that story, and it just plunges me back into just a disdain for humanity.
I'm willing to accept a certain percentage of that, where there was just a complete fuck up and there was no way out of it.
Yeah.
But not that many.
And that's just this year, your lockdown year. Yes, yeah.
May I just bring up something we might not want to discuss or confront? A lot of teenagers were out of school for the past couple of months. A lot of teenagers were sitting with idle hands and free time. I'm anticipating a lot of teenage pregnancies.
That may still happen, but you can't say that for now because we've been in lockdown for under 6 months, which means those kids are still at least 3 months away.
Yeah. I'm not counting them in these 118. It's just a bit of a...
These are people who have no excuse, these 118. Mm. And even what you're saying is not an excuse.
No, not at all.
I did a lot of stupid things as a teenager, but this is a kind of stupid that has consequences way beyond you. You know? All right, then. This is hilarious. So yesterday... some of the tailored suits worn by former public enterprise minister Malusi Gigaba were apparently paid for in cash, believed to be received from the Guptas, his former protector and driver told the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture Thursday afternoon. This is so embarrassing. And this is what I said in that article, which I wrote 2 weeks ago, about how the real problem with corruption is these broken people who think money can fill the gap in their lives. And I used the Gigabas as an example because they're nouveau riche, parvenu, vulgar people who've been given money by the state because there's no way they'd earn that in private enterprise. Neither of them is clever enough or interesting enough or has any ideas. And they think that in order to fix their ugly, broken little lives, they can spend money and they can wear fancy suits and they can drive fancy cars and it'll fill that gap. And that is the reason.
It'll fill that gigapa.
Gigapa, exactly.
Leanne, you're on a roll today.
That is the reason that we have corruption from all of these people in the ANC. It's not because the ANC has a rotten culture, though that may be a part of it. It's because these are broken people who are trying to fix their disgusting lives. They've got disgusting lives. They've done terrible things to other people. They've had terrible things done to them. There's not much to assuage the ugliness of your past if you're Malusi Gigaba, because clearly he did not have a great life up to the moment he was made a minister by the ANC. That's the highlight of his life, and that would be the highlight of most people's lives, even people who didn't have broken lives. But the reason he took money and took suits and went to the Guptas like a slave and said to them, please, Amasa, and they gave him bags of cash so he could buy suits. I mean, it's so bad. This is not a healthy person mentally.
And then let's just keep track of how some of these politicians have been paid. So now we know Minister Gigaba has been paid in crass suits.
Well, because they look at him. These Guptas are so clever, right?
They know how to play these people.
They look at him, he walks in and they go, ah, this is one of those ones who's impressed by fancy suits. He's like a magpie, you know, the shiny
man of the cloth.
Mm. No, well, the shiny things. So let's the way to win this moron over, because they know how to play you, and they can see right through you. So Malusi walks in and they go, he needs suits. This idiot. All right, give him 200,000 rand of the best suits we can afford, and we'll get 200 million rand out of him. That's how dumb he is. That's how dumb he is, and how clever they are. Don't hate the Guptas. They saw their customers.
I forget who it was, but who else? Someone was paid in meat.
Nomvula Mokonyane.
I think she was also paid in a staircase. She wanted like this fancy staircase in her house.
I forget who. I think she may have been. I'm not sure about the staircase, but I do remember they delivered a big box of meat every 2 weeks or whatever. That was Busasa, though, not the Guptas.
But it's just politicians in general and their preferences.
You see how basic these people in government are. How they can be. You know how we always joke about how you can get away from the Metro cops if you buy them KFC?
Well, buy someone a nose job. There was also that lady, right?
Yeah, there was the nose job lady. That's right. Uh-huh. And we found out that there are others with even more embarrassing things, like they'll do it for a trip to Dubai, you know? So it's just all so – it's such a bad reflection on the quality of the character of the people who occupy these offices.
Yeah.
Because it shows you how very low their standards are for being impressed and what they really consider to be important in their lives. And why we have a government that's as shallow as it is because the things that matter to them are shiny material things that really I don't think are that hard to get if you work hard and if you make an effort in this life. You can have a nice suit. You can have one nice suit if you're a hardworking person. It doesn't have to be a 500,000 rand suit, but you could get a really nice suit if that's what impresses you. But they're such parasites that other people took advantage of their shallowness in order to get money out of them. And we're not going to gild the lily on this one because, again, that ironically would overdo the story. But it's just so sad because this witness told the Inquiry that he was seconded from Transnet to join Gigaba's security detail. He escorted the then minister on trips to the Gupta's mansion in Sachsenwald. The visits were unscheduled, and Gigaba instructed him not to record them as he would have had had to do in a normal trip. At some point, the minister would carry a large sum of cash with him. One day I was with the minister when he opened the boot of his official vehicle to take money out to buy lunch for us. Inside the boot, there was a bag which he opened. It contained a bundle of cash in 200 rand notes. Evidence leader Paul Pretorius asked if he knew where the money came from. He responded that he couldn't tell. But as we made some more visits, I connected the dots to say the money came from the Sachsenwald residence. We would go to the Guptas and then to Santon. He used to pay cash for his tailored suits. The witness also stated that when the minister ate at restaurants, he often paid in cash. Gigaba was appointed Minister of Public Enterprises in 2010, a portfolio which oversees state-owned companies. So that's how the Guptas got their return on investment from him. It's all just frighteningly embarrassing, and it's just such a bad reflection on these people, I'm afraid. These ministers are just such basic losers. Four generating units are back online, but power cuts are to continue on Friday. That's today. Load shedding stage two will make a return today. You know, yesterday it finished just as we finished the show. I mean, it started.
Yes.
CS said his power went off. And then Canthan said his. We had just finished the show. So thank God. I mean, I'm hoping that this doesn't happen while we're doing the show one day. But if you hear us suddenly go dead, it might just be that.
Maybe they're fans of the show, the ones in control.
Maybe. Hey, guys.
Shout out. So
brace yourself. There could be some power cuts today.
Yeah.
And the less said about that, the better.
Some power stations were repaired. So
yeah.
Even though you were scheduled, you may not have experienced it.
Well, I hear from everybody who. This is why I'm not going to go as hard on Eskom as I usually would. I've heard that this Derrida chap, who's now the CEO, is really trying hard to fix things. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I'm dumb and, you know, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times. I still want to be an optimist. But let's see what he does. He's also going after the money that people like Brian Molefe stole from Eskom. So good for him. Let's give him a chance to sort this out. In Abidjan, small groups burned makeshift roadblocks in protests in the Ivory Coast on Thursday against President Alassane Ouattara's decision to stand for a third term. This is, again, Banana Republic stuff. you know, you become president, you do your two terms, and the Constitution says you can't carry on, but you go, ah, screw that Constitution, I'm going to do it anyway. So the people rightly are protesting, and it would be incumbent on any good, decent person in the world who believes in the rule of law to be with these demonstrators. But of course, the president, this asshole, released the police and riot gear, and they cleared the burning barricades in several places. Several people were arrested. No immediate comment from the police. Another tin pot dictatorship developing in the Côte d'Ivoire. And then in other news, Israel and the UAE are to normalize ties in a historic peace deal. Now, you may remember that Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize before he'd even done anything. And it was not only a denigration of what has always been considered a very valuable prize, something which three South Africans, Desmond Tutu, in fact four, Chief Albert Luthuli, Nelson Mandela, and F.W. de Klerk have all received, right? For having negotiated at various, Albert Luthuli for very different reasons, Desmond Tutu, singularly, but then Nelson Mandela and F.W. de Klerk for negotiating South Africa through a very difficult period and really forging a nation out of two separate countries that lived in the same place. And it was a big deal, and the Nobel Peace Prize is considered a very big deal. Now, Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize for God knows what reason. He'd done nothing except drone people in the Middle East to death at that point. But here you have something genuinely historic. I'm going to make a prediction that Donald Trump will get nothing but hatred from the Nobel Committee, from the media, from world leaders, despite the fact that here he has done something which is quite historic. He has brokered a deal. It's only the third such, according to the Jewish state, with an Arab nation. It's a big deal. You know what the Middle East has been like since I can remember, since before I was born. Under the accord, which U.S. President Donald Trump helped broker, Israel has agreed to suspend annexing areas of the occupied West Bank, which is important for those people who stand up for Palestine, and they should be happy about this too. The White House official said it firms up opposition to regional power Iran, which the UAE, Israel, and the United States view as the main threat in the conflict-driven region. So they're finding ways of moving forward. And of course, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So in this case, the UAE has been brought closer to Israel because they both have a mutual suspicion of Iran. But the fact that this has been done, this is how brinkmanship happens. And I remember learning about this in international politics in first year. So this is not complicated stuff. Israel signed peace agreements with Egypt in 1979. That was a big deal. Jimmy Carter. Jordan in 1994. With Bill Clinton, remember? The UAE, along with most other Arab nations, did not recognize Israel and had no formal diplomatic or economic relations with it until now. Now at least the UAE says, you're a country, we acknowledge your right to exist, and we don't think that the only solution is to wipe you off the map. So well done.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Well done, everybody. Well done, Israel. Well done, the UAE. And well done to the U.S., And, you know, let's just watch, because I'm pretty much ready to put every cent I have on the fact that Donald Trump is not going to be given credit for any of this. So there we go. There's some news for you this morning. A couple of interesting things going on. George Meany will join us later on, as always, on a Friday. And there's lots of cool, interesting stuff coming up. We've got a very busy morning for you. Andrew Harding, who's the author of These Are Not Gentle People. He's also a BBC correspondent. He's going to tell us some stories. We'll find out about his book. It covers an event that took place in Paris in January 2016.
Now, being a BBC correspondent, you'd expect that it was Paris, France. But it's not. It's Paris.
Yeah, we'll find out about this this incident that took place. And it's galling. So let's check that out.
But it's also just like that crop. Well, Andrew's just part of that crop of journalists who have practically been everywhere and seen everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nowadays, look, I support people where they do good, but nowadays a lot of the journalists we have in this country are just copying what happens on Twitter as news stories. But you don't have like those people going to war and being, you know, with dictators undercover and fascinating.
Do you know what? Let's just pause that for a moment. Here is something that Leanne Moll sent me, which I think you're going to be very excited to hear, because you don't be suspicious. That's your song, Don't Be Suspicious.
Oh man, it's my favorite. And you know, that's all we've done all morning, actually, is be suspicious.
Of course we're suspicious. Look at all this weird shit.
Stop and remember to not be suspicious.
I need your help before we get to 7 o'clock. Okay, so I've got a birthday coming up, not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we may still be in lockdown, who knows. But there are some restaurants open, and we are able to do things until 10 o'clock at night, right? So it's not a complete shutdown.
And by then, you may have... The opportunity of drinking alcohol in that restaurant.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on it, but that's not essential. So what I want to know is, first of all, you know I don't like birthdays and I don't want to do anything, but all of my friends are pressuring me enormously to do something. They're all saying you have to do something for your birthday. So I've got to now consider. So it might not happen. I might still decide to do nothing. But... if you were to celebrate your birthday, and yours has already happened, Leanne, and Sia's was happily before lockdown.
No, it wasn't happily, because that's when I got mugged. So I'm not recognizing my birthday this year.
You got mugged because you were drunk.
Well, that was a shitty night, okay? So let's move on.
So where could you go and what could you do? Because I've seen so many horrible stories about restaurants and hotels that are shutting down forever. They're out of business. I honestly don't know where to go, and I don't know what the normal – it's been so long since I've been out.
Listen, you are in a prime position right now, because restaurants will bend over backwards to accommodate you in any way that you want. So, you know, think up absolutely anything, and they'll do it for you.
What do you mean?
They
want business.
Looking for your support. You know, for instance, I had a friend who had a family funeral, and this restaurant arranged the entire restaurant to be empty for them. They arranged social distancing tables, and they went over and above. So
they had the funeral at a restaurant?
No, after the funeral.
Oh, sure.
You got to eat, you know.
Imagine the Spur birthday song becoming the Spur farewell song.
Imagine.
We had a room of that on this day.
Oh, my word.
So
someone
you're in a position
died
where you can...
Yes. But don't you worry. Don't you fear. They'll always be in heaven, dear. Say, yo, yay, he is dead and gone. Yo, yo, yo.
Listen, if someone's going to have my after funeral meal at the Spur, then I'm going to be seriously concerned.
You'll come back.
You'll just be at Tops. Don't worry.
So that's number one, and any restaurant will accommodate you right now.
All right.
Number two, you could say that you don't feel like going out or you're too scared, and then you can just Zoom your own party, and you can come in and out when you want to.
I hate Zoom. I'm over it. It was very charming in the beginning. You remember we all downloaded that house party app?
Yes.
For all of 2 seconds.
I deleted that like a week later, and I don't want to do a Zoom thing. I want to actually see my friends in person. So I'm thinking either I'll do a small thing at my house for like 10, maybe 12, no more than that.
Mm-hmm. And I say get out. You've been in your house.
Yeah, that's...
Get out and support a restaurant.
But this is the question is like where, and it's a pain in the ass because you have to sanitize and you have to wear a mask and... I don't like that.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, you're being very belligerent right now.
Look, I don't like a birthday, so let's not mess around. But I just thought that's not a bad suggestion, Leanne. Not a bad suggestion. Maybe I will. I'll phone around and see which restaurants are open and which ones could do something. And
yeah. Or have a picnic.
Picnic.
You love
that's picnic. Not a bad idea. Yeah, I mean, because you get outside and, you know, you're out in nature. Except it is, again, it's so shitty outside right now.
My only...
Still got 2 weeks to go.
My only point is just don't get mugged.
Oh, wow. Goodness me, you're going to blow all your friends away like that.
I sneezed. Sorry, I blew my nose, if you're wondering what happened. I just switched off my mic, so you're the only two who can hear it. Yeah, Sia, you had a terrible birthday.
No, I don't know why I should actually stop celebrating, like, big milestone birthdays.
No. No. When you get cynical and old, like Leanne and I, yes, by all means, stop.
No, but like, all of my birthdays in between are great, but big milestones are always a problem. For my 21st, I had backache to the point where I was, like, in bed, and I... Couldn't do anything.
Who has backache at their 21st?
My back was so sore, and I just sat with my mother in bed.
That is so sad.
That's really sad.
And then my 25th, I got mugged.
I'll tell you why this is happening to you, because you build it up in your head to such an extent. Everything has to be a royal golden jubilee.
Maybe you should only be allowed to decide what to do on these milestone birthdays, like the day before.
No. Then it's not Raja Ja. We need a moment. I should get married for my 30th.
Well, you could.
It'll end in divorce, but it's fine.
Wow. I wonder if divorces are going up or down as a result of lockdown now starting to ease off slightly. I wonder if people are deciding after months of having been trapped with the person that they thought they loved and it's not working out. Or whether, you know, there are probably a lot of people who've decided, yes, I made the right choice. I'm with the person I was.
Should we talk to a divorce lawyer?
I'd love to hear it. Yeah, let's get a divorce lawyer. See if divorces are going up or down.
Yeah, I think we should. Some people may have rekindled their love, focused on the things that matter.
Yeah, and having actually spent a lot more time with their partner and their children, they might appreciate family a lot more. I know I've started to appreciate family a lot more during this time. Because the only people I've seen regularly are the family. And, you know, I've always liked my family. We've always been close. But I think we've spent quite a lot of quality time around each other in this lockdown. And I feel like that's been a big plus. I mean, Sia, you moved back in with your parents for a little while, which I know had its ups and downs, but you're very close to your sisters and your mom and dad.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest, it was more ups than downs.
Sure, and you don't want to be alone at a time like this, especially in those beginning few weeks when we were all so unsure of what would happen.
Right.
So I'd like to hear from a divorce lawyer, and I hope that the news isn't that people are getting more divorced than they did before the lockdown. That would be very sad.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
It might not be sad. It might be an era of new relationships in spring.
Yeah. Oh, do you want some messages? We've got a bunch of notes for the show this morning from various people who are listening to us from all over the world. Here's Sabotage, who says, I have a divorce statistic for you. On the positive side, my mom moved in. This is so. Okay, let me just go through this properly. He is a divorce statistic, so he's been divorced.
Oh.
Okay.
And he calls it cockdown and lockdown. And his mother moved in. So great. Your life sounds like it's really working out well, Seb.
There is a cockdown when your mother moves in.
Vongani says, so, Sia, how did you blow out your back? I'm just curious.
Please, I wish it was great like that.
Ruth says, I love birthdays. Have a great birthday week. Well, it's still 2 weeks, so let's not get too excited. Gareth, why did we think in 1994 that our government would differ from all the other African governments? Well, because, again, we're optimistic, and we thought, well, maybe we've got a superiority complex, and we thought, this is our country and our people, and we will be better. But I don't think you can generalize there either. There are better and there are worse governments. And it more or less has to do with the character of the people in that government. Nico says, I think you need to pass a parent test before you can have a child. If you're actually good enough to raise a child and have money, etc., being able to discipline the little person, and if they can't, if you can't be a parent, they should chop your nuts off.
Nico. No, again, I think, and we've said this before, no one should be able to be a parent. You have to apply to be one.
Yeah, but who do you apply to? Government?
No, you have to. It's a special course up in the sky with the unicorns.
Okay. because that's always been my problem. So if you're going to say there needs to be a license to have children, right? Who gives you that license? And if it isn't the government, who the hell else has the right?
It's the God Squad.
Okay.
I would trust Dr. Elna McIntosh.
Yeah, I'm very nervous about giving anyone authority to decide whether someone should have a kid or not. Even irresponsible people.
We could do it.
No, I don't want to be there. I don't want that responsibility. Are you kidding? My birthday is next month, and I don't give a fuck. Sia can come and mug me in advance. That's according to...
Oh, my word, that's... Mbitleng. Very
wrong. Mbitleng, if that's what you're into, okay. Oh, I'll bring a whip and chains.
If you
play the
us...
scared, the scared victim, okay. I'll play the big. Sorry.
See, his fantasies coming out here. All right. So, if you would like to get hold of us, 07974. Oh God, I've just gone blank. What is the
07974820900.
Sometimes I just completely freak out on the number. 748-2090. That's the number you can get hold of us on. You want to send us a WhatsApp or you want to tweet us at cliffcentral.com. Whatever's on your mind this morning, let's hear from you. It'd be nice to hear what you're up to this Friday. Coming up in the next while, Andrew Harding, author of a new book called These Are Not Gentle People. He's also a BBC correspondent with loads of good stories to tell. He will be joining us, and George Meany coming up after that. CliffCentral.com.